like to invite the following people to join me for lunch.
I think we should share an awesome blossom. What do you say? They are awesome.
Order!
Cheeseburger, please!
Get off, Napoleon. Make yourself a dang quesadilla.
And I'll have the number 8.
That's a party platter. It serves 12 people.
I know what I'm about, son.
This burrito is delicious, but it is filling.
Okay, I'll have the linguine, red sauce on the side. If the sauce does not come on the side, I will send it back.
Can I take your order?
It's time for the Lunch Rush. The latest and greatest in sports news. Here's Brady Hall.
I like he brought in a good burger clip there. Not a lot of people are going to know that one. That's a good one. That's deep. That's fun. All right, let's get to it. Jerry Jones says Mike McCarthy is going to call the plays for the Cowboys in 2023. So that's what that whole thing was basically McCarthy, you know, with Kellen Moore and everything, was he just wanted to be the guy. Because I don't think they hated Kellen Moore. It doesn't sound like it was a negative departure. It was more of a mutually agreed that it just doesn't make sense. And I think they want McCarthy to call the plays going forward. That's interesting to me.
Did he call plays in Green Bay?
I don't remember. Probably.
I think there was some kind of...
And maybe that's, you know...
I think there was like some pushback on that.
I think they like Kellen Moore, and that's why maybe Jerry Jones fought for Kellen Moore to stay as the coordinator instead of McCarthy. But, you know, when you get knocked out like that and you don't win the second round and all this stuff, maybe you think, okay, I'm gonna try this route. More pressure's on McCarthy, though. Even more so than we thought going in. All right, Angel, Dolphins, your boy, Tua, he cleared concussion protocol. I just think it's interesting because the season's over. Why are they still reporting on that? Like, it's not like he's not going to be in concussion protocol for the next 7 months.
No, I was curious about it, too. A lot of people freak out, like, oh, he was in protocol for 38-something days. He can't be healthier. It's not that. It's more than likely that the NFL told the Dolphins that he will not be playing anymore. Just, it's not good for the optics and stuff like that. But he has been consulting with neurodoctors, specialists, all kinds of things, been reassured that he will be 100% for the start of the season, not prone to more concussions. If he does get another one next year, the protocol resets. So it wouldn't be, okay, you're out for 2 months. Now it would be the normal protocol.
Which is what now?
It's just when you get through the five phases.
And it's usually a week?
Usually a week, yeah.
Okay. So it sounds like the Jimmy Garoppolo era, at least now, is going to end in San Francisco. The Niners and Jimmy G are clearly going to separate at this point. I mean, that's what Kyle Shanahan said. Because we got a lot of questions around San Francisco and their quarterback situation. Shanahan made it clear Wednesday that Garoppolo and the Niners are finally going to separate at this point. Which, that was a smart move, right? You can't keep stringing Jimmy G along.
No, you have to cut him loose.
But you kind of need to say, who is your quarterback? Is it Brock Purdy or Trey Lance?
You gotta
go Brock Purdy, right?
I think Purdy might be out for a while.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. Wow. I mean, as soon as one guy finally gets a clear path, boom, it's out. If it wasn't for the surgery, it would be Brock Purdy, wouldn't it? Be his job to lose?
It would definitely be a competition.
Bizarre. Bizarre time. He asked whether there was any scenario in which he could see Garoppolo returning to San Francisco. Shanahan did not mince words. He said, no, I don't see any scenario like that. But that was how it was this time last year. Remember, that whole process was just weird.
Because Jimmy had said goodbye already.
Yes.
And he was expected that he would be traded or signed.
And then nobody was trading for him because then the surgery stuff, as far as the injuries and all that came out, and just wasn't a lot of interest there. They were concerned about that. And then as more and more things happen, Shanahan and John Lynch both sat down and were like, should we try to see if Jimmy G will stay? And I think it was Shanahan who's like, no. And then the next day, Shanny slept on it and said, okay, that actually makes sense. So let's call him. And Jimmy G right off the bat was like open to it. And then it kind of worked out. Then it didn't. Then it did. Weird deal with San Francisco. There it is, the Lunch Rush, top stories trending nationally. Our poll question today, available at thewholeshow.com. Check it out. Who are you? Which football team are you most excited about as we approach spring ball and everything? We think about the next season. Look at this, dude. Things have changed a little bit on the poll. The Rams, the Buffs, and the Broncos, we got a three-way tie going. 27% going to each, the Rams, the Buffs, and the Broncos. And listen, UNC's holding their own. They're at 18%. They're hanging in there.
Give me 1 second.
Go change that up, man. Go vote at thewholeshow.com. I want to see how this one turns out. Because I want to see who wins this battle.
Boom,
this
20%.
Look at that. This excitement battle going forward. So the Bears crossed over in the 20%. But the Broncos have made a move here. It was the Buffs leading this morning. Then it was the Buffs and Broncos. The Broncos passed the Buffs. Then the Rams. That's what happens when my CSU Rams fans get a hold of this. They go crazy on it. And then they jumped to the top. The Buffs were holding down the fort at second. But now the Broncos have made a resurgence here. So go vote at thewholeshow.com. Which team are you most excited about heading into spring and next season and all that? Dixon says, with the draft picks they gave up for Lance, he'll be given every opportunity and probably head in as the starter. Well, if Purdy was healthy, though, who knows what would have happened in that game last weekend? I mean, somebody had said, why not just put Christian McCaffrey in at quarterback for that game? Did you see the one throw he had? There was nobody. He threw it like 30 yards downfield, and there was nobody. Like, that's not going to work. At least with Purdy, you could go, maybe there's a threat of a throw. But after seeing Christian throw that back, he didn't. He was just throwing it. He was just getting rid of the ball.
Should quarterbacks train to throw with both hands?
That'd be awesome if they did. Jake Plummer tried to.
Tua can do it.
Tua can do it. I've seen Mahomes do it. I mean, like, four-yard passes. Jake Plummer's didn't work out so well. His was an interception, I'm pretty sure. The teams Purdy beat in his starts are not that impressive, but he beat them. Like, what is he supposed to do? He beat him. That argument's always interesting to me because it's like, all you can do is beat the teams that are in front of you. And I'm sorry, but in the NFL, there's a reason the spreads are never much more than like 7 or 8, depending on the matchup. There are some, yeah, that get up into the 9s and 13.5s. But the difference typically between the best team and the worst team in the league, depending on the day and how everybody plays, sometimes can be just a touchdown or two. So he beat him. I don't know what else he's supposed to do. Those are the guys in front of him. Those are the teams in front of him that he's got to beat. So go vote at thewholeshow.com. We'll discuss that too. The excitement factor as far as football teams in the area. And I'm sorry. I mean, it's not that I'm ignoring Air Force. I'm not. I like Air Force. I'm actually a pretty big fan of Air Force. I like watching them. I've become more of a fan the last 5 or 6 years because I like running the football. I think that's it. And when they do pass, it's like, ho, here we go. But, I mean, am I wrong on this? What's the excitement factor? Like, if this was Jay Norvell's fourth season and they were just kind of a 4 to 6 win team every year, I don't know that they'd be in the list either. Because which team are you most excited about? Yes, Air Force fans are going to say next year for sure, Air Force. But like, what's the vibe in the state of Colorado? There are some exciting things happening. No question about it. And specifically on the football side. It's just funny to me. We talked about it a little bit yesterday. You know, how football season was so bad around here. And we were begging for basketball. And now basketball is kind of bad around here. And now we're begging for football again. We got to get out of this cycle, man.
We're going to have great football this year.
I hope. I really hope so. I have there's questions around all of these. Like, to me, I don't look at any of these teams right now and say, yes, I think they should work. Yeah, they're exciting and the good moves. But I certainly have my concerns about all of them. I'm more positive than negative, I think, on all four of them. I think okay, how about this one then for you, Angel? Who has the most pressure to win next year?
I'd say the Broncos and the Buffs.
Which one?
Probably the Broncos.
Okay, I was going to say the Buffs.
I think even if CU went like 8-2 or 8-3, that would still be like success. I don't know if they'll, you know, be playoff contending in their first year, but anything lower than 6 wins would be a disappointment.
So pressure on the Buffs to win at least 6 to get to a bowl game,
yeah,
and then pressure on the Broncos to go to the playoffs.
Yes,
I think that's realistic. The Buffs, though, and to defend the Broncos here. The Broncos aren't doing the week coming stuff. They're not doing the, you know.
Not yet.
Not yet. But we got Let's Ride.
Let's Ride Part 2.
We'll see. I don't know. Maybe Sean Payton puts that one down. I don't know. But Coach Prime, for better or worse, has set it up where we expect to win now. Somebody asked him in his press conference yesterday, were you surprised at some of the names you did get? And he's like, no, when you're a winner, you expect to win. And these were the guys we wanted, and we got them. So I'm not going to put in the work if I don't expect these guys to come here. It's honest. I mean, it is honest, man. It's crazy to me. Look at this, dude. 2 5-star recruits. This that defensive back I'm really excited about. What is that, Cormani McLean? Is that McKellen? McKellen? Cormani McKellen, I'm sure we'll all know his name soon. 7 4-stars. They got another, the other 5-star was a transfer. They got some studs. They got dogs, man. It's quite the story. Oh, we got a situation here. We got the Broncos just passed up everybody on the poll here. So now it's the Broncos at 28%. The Buffs and the Rams are tied. Go vote at theholeshow.com. Can the Bears make a comeback in today's poll question of the day as far as the excitement factor? I love this. This is fun. So which Colorado team are you most excited about for next season? The Broncos, the Buffs, the Rams, or the Bears? And I got the Broncos barely leading right now with Sean Payton and Russell Wilson. That's how it should be in normal years, but Coach Prime isn't providing us a normal year. It's absolutely madness. 18 minutes after the hour, when we come back, let's talk about it. Let's talk about Colorado and how they were just, how they're able to do this. Because Deion Sanders, he wasn't playing when any of these guys that are signing with him were alive. So how's he doing this? How is Coach Prime able to get these monsters coming over to play, these studs? Because make no mistake about it, you can be negative if you want, but look at the papers, look at the names. These guys are studs based on the last time they played football. We'll be right back. We're live from the Allo Communications Studios. It's Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
The UNC Bears playing Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Jerry Schimmel, voice of the UNC Bears and host of Amazing Americans, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Class of O'Sinese, Florida 7 and Georgia 4 in CU history. Class rankings, they said, guess what number we are ranked? 21. God is something else, isn't it? 21 ranking overall, best in 15 seasons, number 4 ranking for transfers, easily the best in CU's history, only the second in the top 40. With Kamani and Travis, first time CU signed 2 5-star players in the same class, same position, by the way, and both of them are dogs. I can't wait to see them play together. 7 other 4-star recruits in this class, the most 4-star recruits in the class in CU history, and 9 4-5-star recruits in the program. The best. CU is the only school in 2023 to sign a 5-star recruit from high school in the transfer portal, which is phenomenal. Okay, the other topics, Black and Gold Day, spring football games. We start practice March 19th. 4 practices that week. We're going to be off the following week due to spring break. I really hate practicing then, having spring break, because they forget every darn thing you taught them. Okay, then the game is part of a Black and Gold Day on April 22nd that kicks off at 1 p.m.
There's Coach Prime. talking about. Fourth in the country in transfers as far as where they rank. 21st in the country as far as just recruiting overall. Your high school recruits coming in. They're trying to build that spring game up. So they start practice on the 19th. When did you say the spring game was?
1st of April.
And they're one that big there.
They're already selling tickets for it.
Mark Johnson told us on Wednesday or yesterday that, I don't know, ESPNU might come out?
ESPN.
ESPN? And film and put it on. You can actually watch the game, watch whatever they're going to do.
They normally do that for the top schools in the country.
That's what I'm saying. They do it for the Alabamas of the world, the Georgias of the world. They're doing it for a team they hope is going to be good. It's ratings. I'll tell you this. If this means anything, I mean, primetime is on the same commercials as your boy Nick Saban. Primetime was one of the only college coaches that was on the national championship broadcast. Nick Saban was there. How many more were there? I don't think there were that many. This is huge. And again, this is why, you know, I'm not a hater of this. There's definitely a lot of people that are like, it's all about him and show me. He has built this brand of who he is over the last few years, even outside of football, where he is extreme. He's become like really, really popular. A really great personality. You know, fun personality, energetic personality. And all of that has led to more eyeballs. More people want to see him on, where was he? Was he with NFL Network for a while? I know he's with ESPN, NFL Network. I mean, he moved around. But he drew ratings because he was entertaining, animated, great talker, had all these sayings, players connected with him. So that attracted viewers. These players growing up watching NFL Network and ESPN saw primetime. And then they looked back at his career, too. You know, it's a mix. Because they didn't watch him play. None of these guys were born when he was playing. Maybe with Baltimore. But they didn't see him play. But they hear about him. And then they go back. And they go watch some of his clips. And they see who he is. He's got style. He's got flair. He created a persona. He would have been just... If he was just Deion Sanders and played cornerback in the NFL, he'd be like a Patrick Surtain. Just a Champ Bailey. Really good corner. Hall of Famer. Fade off into the sunset. Because you don't hear from Champ a lot. I'm sure he does. I don't know where he is, actually. But you don't hear him all the time. He's a great dude. But you just don't hear. He didn't create that persona. You know, Darrell Revis tried to do it with Revis Island. And some of these guys have tried to do it. But the persona and the play didn't always sync up. Primetime always... Oh, I mean, other than the Baltimore stretch, I think he did that for a season. Other than that, he was always one of the best in the league. Always one of the best athletes in the league. And so that always paired with his persona, with primetime. And he used that like a genius. I don't know if he thought during his career, and even in post-career when he was doing media, I don't know if he really thought he was going to be a head coach, if that was always the goal. But he was creating that persona for this kind of stuff. And in college football, it is about the coach, Angel, because you know this more than anybody. It's about Nick Saban. They say it's about the kids, but the kids are only there for 2 to 3 to 4 years. The coaches are what it's about in college sports. Now, it's about the kids. I get that, but they get their degree, they get their scholarship, they get whatever, and then they move right along in a short time. The coaches are the ones you're building around because you're trying to project your image and your name and all that out to the world so they see it. So if you have a problem with the way primetime does business, then you have a problem with college football because he gets it. He does it in a different way. Saban doesn't have the personality that primetime, he doesn't have that personality.
Saban can be fun.
Not like that.
you just got to get to know him.
Yeah, but he's not like that.
I think his reputation speaks for him a lot more, but I think he does connect with his players very well.
I think he connects, but he's not doing stuff. He's not coming up with all these fun sayings all the time. And he doesn't have the footage of playing the way, you know, the way primetime did. The high stepping. Like, he created that stuff. Saban's good in a different way. Just like Ed Lamb is way different than Norvell, and Norvell's way different than primetime.
Well, Saban,
it all works.
He created the process, which
right.
is what it was early on.
It took time.
And that took years to advance to it, and you don't hear it as much anymore because it's so well established.
Right.
Here.
And you know, even they're obviously Bama's always going to write. You know, if you might ask a 20-year-old kid, like, who they're more entertained by and who they think's more of a charismatic personality, they might say primetime. They probably will. But they're still going to go back and go, that guy puts people in the NFL. That's what that guy does. He wins championships. He gets in the playoffs and he puts guys in the NFL. Now here's the hard part. Primetime's name alone grabbed all this stuff. Now he's got to win because that name's going to fade in 2 years if they don't win. Guys aren't going to... You're not going to see 2 5-star recruits and 7 4-stars. You're going to see 1, maybe. You're going to see 3 4-stars, and then that will dwindle. Saban created it slower than what we're seeing with primetime, but established an empire. Primetime came in, bam, packed a punch because of the persona that he created while he was playing and while he was on the media and stuff.
Well, Saban went 7-6 in his first year, and then they went 11-1, lost to Florida, and then that third year was the undefeated championship. So it took him 3 years, and that was a whole different era of football back
right.
then. But, I mean, you could expect CU to be competing for a playoff spot this year. It's hard to see just because we don't know what this team is going to look like in terms of the offense, in terms of the defense, and if that culture can really permeate in these kids and it translates to the field. We'll wait and see, but I think, like I said earlier, I think 6 wins at least would be very much accepted.
I think so. I would hope so. It should be, but
Colorado sports fans need to understand expectations.
I don't think so. They don't get that. 31 minutes after the hour, let's jump out real quick and get the latest on the local sports flash.
Hi, I'm Darren Dunn, Director of Athletics at the University of Northern Colorado, and you're listening to the whole show, 1310 KFKA.
The University of Northern Colorado Bears getting back into action tonight. They're on the road against Montana, and they really need to try to find a way to get some wins here very, very soon. I'm excited about that late-night game on Monday night. That's going to be fun. How about Jerry Schimmel, the voice of the UNC Bears? You ready for that? It's beach day on Monday night,
yeah.
Jerry. You going to wear some sandals and flip-flops?
Oh, man, that's very tempting, Brady. I tell you what, if you do it, I'm in.
I'm thinking
about
it.
I will follow your lead.
You know, my old rule, Jerry, is sun's out, guns out, but it's the sun won't be out, so I don't think we can do tank tops or anything like that. That's what I'm a little concerned about.
Well, no, that's okay with me, though. If you don't do that, I'm not going to do that either. I think that will be interesting on Monday night, national television audience. There was going to be one big sky game that ESPN could pick, and they picked this one. So this will be fun on Monday.
Yeah, I'm bringing like a third of the morning show, or maybe a little more than that. Maybe half. We'll just see what Tanner's ending up doing here. But I think the morning show crew's coming out too, Angel and Tanner. So they're going to get up early the next day, but they don't care. It's late night basketball in Greeley, man.
Well, good for them. You know what? Hey, you know what? I said this in the coach's show the other night. Go to the Goat Sports Bar, have a couple beers, and then come to the game. It's at 9:00.
I love it, man.
And then you go home after that. Everything's perfect.
Get your beach wear. Maybe wear a coat and stuff in, but then do the tearaways like they do in basketball and just rip that stuff off and enjoy beach day. Jerry, looking at this game coming up tonight here with your call on KFKA at Montana. It's just been kind of a weird, tough go for UNC. I thought maybe they were turning that corner when they won 2 of their last 3 in the Big Sky Conference, but then they lose to Northern Arizona, which, again, that can be confusing because Northern Arizona, even though they're 2-7 in the conference, they have taken it to every team. They've been really close with almost everybody they played. So it kind of does show you that things are pretty tight in the Big Sky.
Yeah, they really are, top to bottom. There are no easy wins. There's no gimmies, as Steve Smiley says. And, well, you know, he said that beginning of the season. I thought, you know, there's always weak teams. There really isn't, you know, and Northern Arizona probably should have beaten Eastern Washington. They had an opportunity twice at the end of that ball game to win. They came up short both times. Their best free throw shooter misses the front end of a 1-1. He hits both of those, they win. And then he had a wide open 3-pointer at the end that could have won it. So they certainly should have beaten the number one team of the Big Sky. So they're at the bottom along with some other teams like UNC. But it just goes to show how much talent is in this league this year. So there's no easy wins. Tonight will not be an easy win for Montana or for UNC. Every game is going to be a battle, and I think that the team knows that, and they're hopefully ready for it.
Yeah, that's the thing. Can they be ready for it? Maybe they can make a run here. I was going back and forth with Coach Smiley last week, and you know, he said, hey, I feel like this team can make a run. I really do. If we can just get it all working together, I feel like there's a lot left in this tank where, you know, we can make a final run in this stretch of season, and then once we get into the tournament, maybe we could be a dangerous team.
Exactly, and that's what has to happen. Things have to come together. It is a dangerous team. I mean, I think anybody looks at that roster and that talent level and thought, I wouldn't want to play these guys in the tournament. I mean, this is a dangerous team. Despite what their seed might be, come Big Sky Conference play, tournament play, they're going to be a dangerous team. And they're waiting for all the pieces to come together. And you look at this year, and he had, you know, had got off to a slow start, was, Dalton Connect was great, but then, you know, Daylon Coons got off to a slow start. He finally picks things up. Then Riley Abercrombie gets hurt. And then Matt Johnson's inconsistent. And then their bench has been inconsistent. And Brock Wisney has a good game and has an off game. So they're looking to put it all on one page and be that team that kind of clicks. And I think, I just got this hunch that down the stretch here and then heading into the tournament, they're going to be that team because they certainly have those ingredients. Abercrombie's back. Daylon's playing more consistent. Dalton Connect has been terrific since the beginning of the season. So I think for this team to make a mark in the tournament, they're going to have to be playing well, and I think they have that opportunity.
Jerry Schimmel, our guest on our First Advantage Hotline. Riley Abercrombie is the interesting one because he's been out for a while, and he didn't start last time out for the Bears, but that's a guy that you expect to be in that starting lineup. And when he's in, he's not, you know, he's not Dalton Connect. He's not going on tears like that or anything, but he's a really good player, and he can add that 11 to 13 points or whatever. So we'll be curious to see if he's starting tonight. I'm assuming he is. And if he is, then that's going to raise all boats, I would imagine.
Yeah, exactly right. And what you're looking for is to help the big three out. Help out Matt Johnson, Daylon Coons, and Dalton Connect because they're 1-2-3 in the league in minutes played. I mean, they are playing hard, and they're playing a lot of minutes. They've got to get some help, especially offensively. And Abercrombie is that guy. There's really nobody. You know, I thought maybe Caleb Shaw could be that guy that could add some things offensively. He's kind of tailed off a little bit and actually gone downhill a little bit. So they need somebody to pick things up offensively. They got really no bench scoring at all. And so for Riley to be back in the starting lineup, which I think, Brady, you're right, I think he will be back there tonight in place of Connor Creech, I think is going to be a big lift for this team. But they've got to get some help other than the big three. They just can't rely on those three every single night to get 20 points. And they need somebody from the bench or someone else in the starting lineup, and I think Riley can be that guy.
So, Jerry, then what does that do to the bench? Because I'm just looking at the box score from the Northern Arizona game. Riley was the only one that scored off the bench.
Yeah,
so,
I know.
Yeah, and if we thought so much of Caleb Shaw, and again, he's a freshman. He still could be a very great player for this team. But who do you lean on with that bench unit, or is Smiley going to be forced to play more guys more minutes than he would like as far as that starting lineup?
I think he's probably already done that, Brady.
Yeah.
I don't think he planned on playing everybody 37, 30 minutes, 38 minutes. I mean, there have been twice this year where Dalton Connect has not come out of a game. He's played all 40 minutes, and that's tough, even in college. I know the NBA does it, you know, three or four times a week, but in college, they're not used to that, and you're going to hit a wall at some point. And I think Steve's done a good job, it sounds like anyway, in practice – of keeping guys back a little bit, not overextending. Obviously, when you have a game, you got to play all out, and you got to play those minutes, but you got to bring them back and practice a little bit, let them rest. And Steve's, I think, done a really good job of that. So I don't think there's going to be any burnout with the big three coming tournament time. I think what you're hoping for is guys like Caleb Shaw and some others might pick things up a little bit down the stretch here.
Let's talk about Dalton Connect, Jerry. I mean, is he 27 points again for him against Northern Arizona? We've seen several 30-point games for him this season. I was shocked. I knew he'd be good. We said at the beginning of the season, you said it, Jerry, he was part of the big three with Dalen, Kuntz, and Matt Johnson, but Dalton feels like he's the guy, the go-to guy, at least at this stage in the season.
I think so, too. You know, what's incredible is that he's probably looked at right now as the best player in the league. He's leading the league in scoring. I think he's fourth or fifth in rebounding. I think he's first now. He's number one in three-point shooting. So you might look at him as the league MVP. He has not won Player of the Week honor this year. None. No week. Even the 34-point games, he's not winning it. So it tells you how many other great players in the Big Sky. But this guy has been incredibly consistent. What they needed, because Dalen Kuntz got off that slow start, Matt Johnson's been inconsistent, they needed a guy like Dalton Connect to be consistent and be really good every night. And he has been that way. And he loves it. He loves the challenge. He loves the ball in his hands. He makes great decisions. I think he makes really good decisions when to shoot a three and when not to shoot a three and when to put the ball on the floor and when not to. So just getting a great feel for the game. And Steve Smiley said this at the beginning of the year, I thought this is really prophetic. He said, just wait, Dalton's going to be a better player this year. Those junior college guys come out of junior college, that first year, that junior college year in Division I especially is a tough one. It's a transition year. Then year two is a lot better. That's exactly what's happened with Dalton Connect.
Is there? He's got another year left, doesn't he, Jerry? Is there a good chance he'll be back with UNC next year?
That's a great question, and I think it's about, what I can tell right now, about 50-50.
Oh,
he'll get
wow.
his degree. He'll get his degree, and he might have a chance to play overseas or somewhere, but there's also a possibility he could come back. But, yes, he has one more year of eligibility.
I hope he decides to come back. Obviously, personally yeah. for him, whatever's best, but what's best for me would be for him to be with the UNC Bears. How about Dalen Kuntz? You know, at the beginning of the season, Jerry, there was just talk of, you know, because I know he put his name in the hat to get evaluated at the draft, to see where he stood, stacked up with everybody. This year, he's been good. I mean, his numbers haven't been terrible. He's been pretty good. He had 15 against Northern Arizona. But where has his stock gone as far as, and I didn't know that he was an NBA guy anyway, but where do you think his stock has gone? It's had to have gone down a little bit throughout the course of the season.
It has. It's going down a little bit. And I think what people still see is the talent. They still see flashes in a game of the way Dalen was more consistent last year. But they, you know, sometimes he's as quick and as fast to the hole as anybody in the league, probably more so than anybody. So there's that talent level. And every once in a while you'll see it and you go, oh, man, that stuff you see in the NBA sometimes. I think where he is, and I've got a friend who's a scout for the Washington Wizards, and he was coming to town last week, and or he was coming to town this week, actually, and said, hey, should I still come and watch Dalen play? You know, the numbers are down. We watched some film. He looked like he was disinterested on defense a couple times. Is he worth coming to see? And I said, you know, if you're in town, you're watching Isaiah Stevens and you're watching the two kids from CU, come on over. And so he's going to come over, I think, next week and watch him play. So, next week, I think. So, yeah, his stock is down a little bit, but I think there's still, because of that talent level, Brady, there's still interest in Dalen. I don't know if he gets drafted, but I think he's probably a professional player at some level somewhere after this year.
Well, we'll see. Maybe they can all turn it on here and make kind of a historic run as down the stretch of this season and into the Big Sky Conference Tournament. Jerry, what time you get rocking and rolling tonight? 6:30?
6:30 with a pregame show. Yes, sir. 7 o'clock tip-off from Missoula.
All right, my man. Nobody better in the business. And bring that sunscreen out on Monday for beach day.
So, I'll do that, Brady. I'll see you then.
Jerry Schimmel, thanks, man. Appreciate you. The voice of the UNC Bears. Where did it go? Angel, come on. I had an email and I can't find it, but somebody emailed me and said, Brady's wrong again. Although it did say that he's, only Tanner comes up with more ridiculous information than I do. So that's exciting. At least I'm not as bad as Tanner on that side. He says, Air Force only wins 7 games a year. And then he lines it out and it's 10, 10, 3, and 11. Well, that average is 8. So okay, I got Come it on, wrong Brady. By a game. You know what I mean. 7 to 10-ish, whatever. And it's 8 if you average that. I can't find the email now. Where did it go? But call me on that stuff. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But it's not like I have Air Force's schedule just like saved onto my computer ready to see. They're good for about 8 games. All right? Over under 8 games for Air Force. That's probably the betting line.
11.
Do the average, emailer. The average is 8. So, okay, I'm off by a game.
I love that they emailed you.
Yeah, text
it's
us.
It's more personal.
Oh, yeah. Well, the headline is Brady's wrong again. It's like in Waterboy. Your mama's wrong again. And then and that's when you're supposed to be like, no, Colonel Sanders, you're wrong. Mama's Brady's right. Hey, I could be wrong once, all right? But I'm not even wrong by that much. It was a game and a half. Whatever. It's 8.5. You notice how I changed it from 8.5 to 8. Makes it look a little bit better. 12:48, the time. We'll take a short break. It's the whole show. If you want to email me, brady@1310kfk.com. I like emails. Or you can text the show. That's even faster. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. We'll get to more. Where are we going now? Oh, let's talk about the Broncos. Let's talk about the defensive coordinator situation with Ejiro Evero coming up next. It's Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Join Clark Johnson and Bruce Dick for Clark and the Coach. Weekdays at 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Warren Jackson, former CSU wide receiver, current NFL wide receiver for the Los Angeles Rams, and you're listening to the whole show on KFK.
What is he saying, Angel? What is Tanner trying to tell me here?
I have no idea. My math's like halfway off. Through that, you're arguing about averages.
Well, so we got the email about my. I just said Air Force is good for about 7 games, and the email wrote in the amount of wins that they've had in the last 4 years: 10-3, 10-3, 3-3, and 11-2. Well, you take the average of those wins, and you divide them by 4. And you get 8.5. And Tanner's saying, well, because 3-3 was the COVID year, you can't do that because it doesn't count. I'm like, well, you're assuming that they would have won all the rest of their games then to win more than 3.
We'll take out the COVID year.
You can't. Well, I mean, you can if you want to, but that happened. They played football that year.
Is that going
to
make much of a difference?
It would. If you took the 3-year, if you took it out, they'd average like 10 wins. If you took the COVID year out, yeah, they average like 10.
Okay.
But Tanner's saying based on them going 3-3, the trajectory showed that they would have won 3 more games or 7 more games or whatever.
How can you predict
but
that?
But you can't do that. You can't do that.
It's basically a wash.
You're giving me 4 seasons of games. You're giving me a season where they won 10, a season where they won 10, and then they won 3 in the COVID year, and then they won 11. You can throw it out if you want, sure, but I said they average about 7 wins a game. Based on that, they average about 8.5 wins a season. Excuse me, 8.5 wins a season. Tanner's saying that you have to assume they would have played more games because it was 2020. It's weird. Well, that's also assuming that they win out, that they win every game. They could have very well never won again. They might not have. Who knows? Crazy things happen. That was the Steve Adazio year. CSU beat Air Force or beat Wyoming that year, didn't they? So, I mean, you can't just throw it out there. That's the average of their last 4 years. Air Force has averaged 8.5 wins a season. And that's just the way it is. It does that for it hurts everybody. But that's the facts. Those are the facts. If this were a math class, Angel, and these were the numbers they gave you, you couldn't just ignore the year in between. They played games. They played 6 games that year.
Then you include that in the total number of games you played?
Yes, it's part of the average. You won. You won 3 games that year.
We get a math teacher on to help us out.
I don't think we need one for that. That one's so obvious. He's like saying...
Like, I understand what he's like trying to say.
I get what he's saying, but the math is the math. The numbers are there. It's not like they can just create more... Oh, but because they would have played 6 more games... they would have won all of those games. You can't just say that. They could have lost all those games, too. I mean, how good was Air Force that year, in 2020? Clearly not that good. They were 3-3 through six games. It's dumb.
One of y'all's more heated debates.
Because it's ridiculous. He's saying you have to throw that season out. Well, the emailer didn't. He said, I just confirmed with Clark. Clark forgot Micah's name this morning, I'm pretty sure. So I think I'll stick to my guns on this one.
Clark is the numbers.
Yeah. Texter from the 970. You can use that to figure out. What is this? You can use that to figure out winning percentage, but not average win-loss. Why? That makes zero sense.
I'm not calculating win percentage.
I'm not calculating win percentage. I'm averaging out how many wins that they've had in the last 4 years. How many are they averaging as far as wins per season? If you factor in the COVID year, which you have to, because it happened, that's what it is. You take 10 plus 10 plus 11 plus 3, you divide it by 4, there's your win average. Am I missing something?
Man, math checks out.
It checks out. 970 texting, and yes, I'm a CSU fan, but objectively, I think the Deion experience will last a few years, and CU will fall right back to where they came from, most likely without a Pac-12 championship, let alone a national one to speak of. And then another text I got. Where is it? I lost it again. I'm losing things here on gel. We're losing them. Can't seem to find it. Basically said the Buffs are going to get into some kind of trouble before they win anything.
Kind of trouble?
I don't know. That's a weird assumption to make.
I mean, on average, there's going to be a couple of players on any football team that do something stupid.
I guess, yeah. That's an interesting take. 12:57 the time. We'll take a short break. We've got Ed Lamb on the program coming up in the 1 o'clock hour, so you're not going to want to miss that. We'll be he said, Chris, you guys are blowing me away with math. Because Tanner and Clark are saying you just can't use that season. Then nobody would...
Use a previous season. Use 2018.
Well, you can use that season. Why can't you use that season? You're saying it didn't happen? It's not a discrepancy. It happened. They played games. We'll be right back.